or I don't know that it helps any. That's the, my concern. I think it's more of a they all have to be off. But anyway.
Oh, that's what he's trying to do over there?
It is, but it's I think the those hot blue lights just do that unless they're off. Anyway. All right, we'll get started. Good afternoon, everybody. It is shortly after 2:30, December 8th, 2010. That would be 2:30 p.m., fortunately. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission meeting at a different time than usual, but our regular biweekly meeting. Kevin Kramer, along with Tony Clark and Brian Kulk, all in attendance at today's meeting. The reason for the 2:30 meeting is because, of course, the governor presented his budget address this morning. We all attended. And proud to announce that we got all of the increases we asked for, which were none. And I noticed we were fairly unique in that regard. With that, any opening comments, other opening comments by my colleagues?
It's good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon and welcome, and looking forward to Bison football again this Saturday. Final eight.
With that, I'd move a passage of items on the consent agenda.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Now to the regular agenda, KC1. I move the commission deem the applications complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the request of Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota LLC for waiver of procedures and time schedules, corridor certificate, and a route permit for the construction of approximately 11 miles of 12-inch crude oil pipeline to authorize construction of a new pumping station located near Keniston, a new pump station near Lignite, and station modifications at its existing Berthold pump station, all in Burke and Ward counties, North Dakota, case number PU-10612.
Second.
I should state right up front that this motion and the next one are two different cases within the same or similar project, same company, and I at my request, we are proposing today and noticing today a hearing for both projects, the same hearing, a combined hearing for Enbridge in Kenmare. So today's notice is of a public hearing on the application scheduled to begin January 24th, 2011 at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time at the City Hall Auditorium in Kenmare, North Dakota. This is in response to Enbridge Pipeline's application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and a route permit for this 11 miles of 12-inch crude oil pipeline. Just a brief description of the line. Of course, as we know, Enbridge is planning to increase their capacity of its what they call Line 26. We call it the portal line. It's part of the reversal process. The first piece of this, or the first phase of this project, was the Berthold station upgrades, which were previously approved and I believe are under construction at this time. This route, or this loop expansion, would expand the capacity of Line 26 from 25,000 barrels per day to 145,800 barrels per day by replacing this 11-mile segment of its existing line and constructing then these new facilities, such as the two new pumping stations, the upgrades to existing pumping stations, and everything seems to be in order for that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So KC2, I move the commission deem the applications complete and issue a notice of filing and a notice of hearing in the request of Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota LLC for waiver of procedures and time schedules, corridor certificate, and a route permit for the construction of approximately 56 miles of 16-inch crude oil pipeline from its Beaver Lodge station to its Berthold station, and to authorize construction of upgrades at its Beaver Lodge station, Stanley station, and Berthold station, all in Williams, Montreal, and Ward counties, North Dakota, case number PU-10613.
Second.
Obviously, this is the notice for the same hearing, same day, January 24th, 2011, at 10 a.m. at the City Hall in Kenmare, as described in the motion itself. This is 56 miles of line. This is the line that'll take the oil from, you know, the Bakken, basically from the field to Berthold, where it will then be get on the that Line 26 going north. ultimately up to Cromer and then on to the Enbridge system down to Clearbrook, Minnesota, on to refineries from there. So everything seems to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Since we're talking pipelines, KC3. I move the Commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to 7 weeks, and assess a filing fee of $75,000 in case number PU10637, Rangeland Energy LLC's proposed 8-inch crude oil pipeline in Williams County of North Dakota.
Second.
This letter of intent we received, it says here December 2nd, I guess. I think we received one earlier, if I remember, November 24th or something like that. This is somewhat unusual or unique as I dug into it a little bit. It's what's called a midstream, specifically a midstream pipeline. It's 20 miles. It's creates a hub, if you will, and it's a completely intrastate transmission line designed to be sort of the hub, which they call Colt, a gathering spot. And gathering is not the right word because out in the field there are gathering lines that would ultimately take oil to this hub where it's then, which is, by the way, near Epping, then delivers to a facility about 8 miles south of Tioga. And from there it can get on multiple transmission lines or third-party lines, such as an Enbridge line or a rail facility, I think, that's being proposed and being built south of Tioga as well. Interesting little company, as a matter of fact, as I did a little research, a company that began just about a year ago specifically to meet this demand opportunity for midstream access to then interstate transmission lines, a company that, again, as I say, started about a year ago and is supported by private investment specifically. Check the company out as well. NCAP, I think it's called, an energy equity company that invests specifically in gas and oil infrastructure. And the Rangelands strategy is, again, specifically for midstream oil and gas opportunities, beginning with the Bakken in North Dakota, which is a good place for a lot of people to begin. So anyway, the letter of intent is received, and I was thinking, however, that when I last time I read this, it was an 8-week request, but it's now 7, which is fine, shortening the 1 year to 7 weeks. Did that change? Does anybody know? It did change. Okay. Still fine with me.
I would just offer that earlier today we heard Governor Dalrymple talk about the importance of addressing infrastructure concerns. These previous three motions have all been about pipelines, and that's, you know, one of the biggest answers to infrastructure concerns is the company's building these pipelines in a safe manner, get the trucks off the road, make the roads safer.
And this one is especially that, you know, sometimes some of these transmission facilities actually, for at least for the short term, create traffic because you've got to get them get the oil to the infused into the pipeline. But this actually is very specific to that because it is all intrastate. It creates the hub but at some point it'd be nice when it's all pipelines and no trucks, unless of course you're a trucking company.
True. Then they can haul water.
Then you haul water. Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
That ends items in my portfolio, Commissioner Clark.
Thank you. Item TC1. I move the Commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order issuing certificate of site compatibility for energy conversion facility number 20 to CPV Ashley Renewable Energy Company, LLC, authorizing construction of a proposed 200.1-megawatt Ashley Wind Energy Project in McIntosh County, North Dakota, case number PU09-370.
Second.
In November of last year, CPV Ashley filed an updated, July of last year, they filed a letter of intent regarding this particular project. And originally, as it came in, I believe it was about a 400-megawatt project. In November of last year, CPV Ashley notified the commission that it had signed a 200-megawatt PPA or Power Purchase Agreement with the Tennessee Valley Authority or TVA, and that as a result of that signed PPA that it intended to permit and develop about a 200-megawatt wind farm. And so that is the project that the commission has been processing since then and has been looking at the attributes of. The public hearing for this case was held in Ashley this past late summer, August 23rd. And it's a fairly good-sized wind farm that is comprised of approximately 17,400 acres of privately owned land in McIntosh County. They have not settled on a final turbine selection yet, at least as of the hearing, but the turbines will either be 2.3 or 2.5 megawatts in size. If the 2.3 megawatt model is selected, there will be 87 turbines used. If it's the slightly larger model, they'll have 80 turbines that will be used in the project. The construction for this project is expected to begin as early as the middle of next year, and it's anticipated to be completed before the end of 2012 and fully operational by the end of 2012. During the construction of the project, CPV Ashley is estimating that there are going to be about 80 construction jobs that are created, and about 80% of those jobs are expected to be filled locally, so that's good news for folks in the McIntosh County area. And that, in addition to that, after it's fully operational, a project of this size is estimated to have about 10 to 16 full-time jobs that are associated with it. And again, that's about average we're finding for a wind farm of this size. The total cost of the project is $440 million estimated. As far as the factors that the commission looks at when citing a project, it's things like turbine noise and shadow flicker, environmental impacts, cultural resources. And in this particular case, my compliments go out to the applicant. It was very well done, and the application was very complete and very excellent testimony as part of the hearing. So there are no really outstanding issues that came in that regard. And the community, to the degree that we got some testimony, was generally supportive of the project itself, which tends to be the norm in most of those cases, although there are circumstances where there is more controversy, but there wasn't particularly much in this case.
That particular hearing will always stick out in my mind because I did get concerned when the one landowner got up and said, I don't have any turbines on my land. And usually that means they're there to oppose it. And then he said, but I stand in support of my neighbors.
And if they want to change the plan, he was willing to accept.
Yeah, right, that's right.
All in favor?
Aye. TC2, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and citing application to 6 months, and assess a filing fee of $100,000 due upon filing an application in case number PU 10-632 Empower 1 LLC's proposed 145.5 megawatt wind energy conversion facility in Steele County, North Dakota. This is just the first step, a letter of intent, and we are shortening at the applicant's request the 1 year to 6 month period of time on the letter of intent. So we should expect an application at some point in the not too distant future. This proposed wind energy conversion facility is to be known as the Laverne Northfield Extension Wind Energy Project. It'll be located in Steele County, North Dakota. It's adjacent and to the north of the existing Laverne County Wind Energy Center. The proposed project is a wind energy conversion facility that's roughly about the same size as the one we just passed, 17,000 acres in Steele County. It would consist of up to 97 wind turbines based on utilizing 1.5 megawatt turbines and would produce approximately 145.5 megawatts of power. The proposed project is estimated to cost $262 million.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I should note that with all the activity in the wind industry, something kind of funny happened a few weeks ago. I was at an event with my 7-year-old son and somebody I knew who I was chatting with. He leaned down and he said, "Hey, Alex, do you know what your dad does for a living?" And he said, "Yeah, he's a TV weatherman." And I couldn't figure out why Alex thought I was a TV weatherman. I was chatting with him afterwards, and it was because we do so much wind sighting now. He had seen a number of stories either on TV or on the radio where I was on talking about how windy it is in North Dakota, and he thought I was a TV weatherman. I thought, if you're going to make something up, I mean, go big. I'm a, you know, second baseman for the Chicago Cubs. Or so.
All right.
Good afternoon again. Item BK1. I move the commission adopt the order adopting settlement in Northern States Power Company's gas safety inspection of its systems in Fargo, North Dakota, case number PU08765. This will maybe take a little while to walk through, but if we go back to September of 2008, there was an explosion that took place in Fargo. And fortunately, no one was killed, but there was several folks that were injured. So as a result of that, it's our role in the commission to make sure that our goal of our pipeline safety program is to make sure we have compliance with all applicable state and federal laws, but to make sure we have the efficient and safe delivery of natural gas. So our staff went out, and over the period of September 2nd to September 16th, they basically did an investigation of the incident. At the end of that review, if you will, our staff found three probable violations of the gas pipeline safety regulations connected to the incident. But it's important to note that although these violations, potential violations took place, none of them were involved in causing the accident, if you will. So initially, there's three probable violations. Over the next, as you can tell, this is over 2 years old, over the next several months, between our staff and the company, two of the three probable violations were mitigated, if you will. The three violations were, I'd maybe read through those first. The first probable violation alleged that NSP did not prepare and keep a record of its analysis of the accident and failure for the purpose of determining the causes of the failure and minimizing the possibility of recurrence. So that would be number one. Number two, alleged that NSP did not prepare and keep a record of its employee activities, review, and determination as required under applicable law to determine whether its emergency procedures were effectively followed. And the third one, alleged that NSP did not prepare and keep a record or review of its written gas emergency plan and determination of the effectiveness of that plan following the emergency event. So during the next several months, between our staff and the company, basically NSP was able to produce to our staff's agreement that for number two, they produced the documentation that satisfied the concerns that we had, and also it is similar for number three, that it did have a good accurate accounting of record. It's just that it took time to flush all these details out. But for the initial one, number one, what's proposed in the settlement basically comes down to what NSP is willing to do is committing to implementing in a five-state region a natural gas operations revision of its pipeline compliance and standards manual to improve cause analysis, the identification and extent of risk, and selection of corrective action sufficient to addressing the root cause and minimize the reoccurrence of accidents and failures. So what we really have here, I mean, back to the goal of the program is to make sure we deliver things efficiently and safely. As this thing worked its way through the process, I think we have here is we had an unfortunate accident that took place. But at the end of the day, we've got a program that's much better, and NSP is willing to implement these changes in a five-state region. So those five states are North Dakota, South Dakota, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And there also will be a civil penalty assessed to the company of $10,000. So I'm sure there will be some questions on this afterwards, and I've got a handout for the folks that they'd like. But basically, I think that reinforcing unfortunate accident, but at the end of the day, we've got a better program, and that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, probably one of the important things for people to keep in mind was a result of this investigation, this settlement and the proposed penalty does not have to do so much with determining a cause of the explosion itself. The testing that was done was in some ways inconclusive with regard to exactly pinpointing exactly what the cause of the explosion was, although we know where it roughly the gas came from. Rather, what this settlement deals with and the proposed penalty are really matters of verification, tracking, paperwork post-explosion. So Xcel's investigation into what happened, the paperwork that's associated with that, the flow chart and work responsibilities and everything that took place after the incident, that's really what this deals with. And that's where staff found what it believed to be some deficiencies. And what staff was able to negotiate out of this settlement that I think is good for the citizens of North Dakota is they actually, Xcel, as a result of the settlement process, went above and beyond even what staff was initially asking for with regard to how XL's work plan would be revised. And so that's important, and I have confidence after talking with our staff who has some expertise in this field that XL will have a much improved response plan, not only for North Dakota, but as a result of this for their entire Northern States power region.
Oftentimes, a really good crisis management plan, you don't know the value of a really good crisis management plan until it's been tested. This particular plan was tested, found to have some weaknesses in it. As Tony said, XL Energy has now exceeded the expectations of the staff in terms of what they requested they do in shoring that plan up, and it's we're glad to finally get this behind us. I might add that some of the delay was caused not only because it is a long, judicious process, and rightfully so, but also because there were staffing issues. As you know, we had some retirements and whatnot among our staff, so that we were short and having to split staff. Besides, we were a little short staffed, so we're glad that we're to this point today.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item BK2. I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in the matter of Montana Dakota Utility Company's application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to provide electric service to a natural gas plant to be constructed in Stark County near Belfield, North Dakota, case number PU10615.
Second.
On October 21st, MDU filed an application to extend electric service to Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation for a natural gas compression station. On November 2nd, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing and provided until December 6th for those who would object to this to get back to us. Basically, we have heard back from Rough Rider Electric Corporation Co-op that they would like to have a hearing on this. So, therefore, we'll be scheduling a hearing date on this later on in the meeting, and there will be 10 different issues that we'll consider at that hearing.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That concludes the items in my portfolio.
All right. We have some announcements. One of the things I want to do is I guess I need to correct at least the verbal record. I suspect that the notices of hearing that we sign will have the correct information. However, the notice of hearings on KC1 and KC2 on the Enbridge pipeline development projects state that the hearings are January 24th in Kenmare. It has been brought to my attention that they are January 20th. Is it still same time? Same time. All right. In addition to that, we do have a few things going on between now and the end of the year. Fairly significant things. Our next meeting and our only regularly scheduled meeting, I think we're probably going to, well, we did schedule a special meeting today, didn't we, for December 15th, but we'll also have our next meeting and the last meeting of the year when we deal with our all of our year-end issues that we have to deal with will be December 30th, usually December 31st. However, December 31st, we're going to celebrate New Year's this year, since that holiday falls on a weekend. So December 30th, we'll have our next and final meeting for this year. Then in January, when we start our meetings, which, by the way, have we scheduled?
We need to do that.
That's on schedule. Is that on scheduling? Okay. We will, of course, then reorganize the commission as well. Now, this Friday, December 10th, we do have another siting case for Highland Operating LLC, an 8-inch natural gas main and lateral pipeline. Hearing is set for 10 a.m. in the McKenzie County Courthouse in Watford City. And then next Thursday, the Sequoia Energy 150-megawatt Border Winds Energy Project, a siting application hearing for that wind farm in the City Commission Hearing Room in Rolla, beginning at 10 a.m. That is a previously sited wind farm, but there have been significant and a large number as well as quite significant proposed, I guess, changes to that. So we are going to have another hearing in Rolla. Friday, December 17th, we do have the formal hearing on the Coteau Properties NOV. And then Tuesday, December 21st, a hearing on the Anexco Development Corporation Maricourt Wind Project, otherwise known to us as the XL Wind Project, at Teddy's Grill in Edgeley, North Dakota. It begins at 10 a.m. Other announcements anybody can think of that I've neglected? If not, are there any questions?
Do you have a rough cost on the Enbridge Pipelines project?
I probably do. It's not in the motion, but it should be in the one. the Enbridge Pipeline, the Bakken Pipeline Project, that's the Ward and Burke Counties project. Rough estimate of cost is $73.1 million. I remember when that seemed like a lot of money. And then on the other one, the estimated cost of construction is $132.6 million. So once again, another $200 million project. Seems like every week we have one.
Well, and added to the two wind projects that we just dealt with, which were about $700 million total. That's about close to $1 billion in investment on one meeting.
And about the Ashley project,
mm-hmm.
how are they getting the power to the TVA?
Well,
it's kind of an interesting question.
Yeah, it is. It's, I mean, one of the things that's important to remember as far as power markets is there's sort of the paper accounting of power, and then there's actual transmission paths and things like this. And I don't recall the exact ratio of what was credits versus what was actually deliverable power dumped into the TVA system, but maybe one of my colleagues does. I remember the question, but
TVA has a rather stringent deliverable condition on their renewable energy, so I don't know the exact formula either, but I do know that of the TVA that generally they require it to be delivered. So it would be a complex route, so I don't know.
Well, there's an ongoing federal EIS that's going to run its course, and you know, we voted on it today, but it could be some time till this thing is actually built because our order is contingent upon some other things falling into place.
Is there anything else that's pending in North Dakota or that you've been contacted about for Eastern power firms or TVA or anything like that to use our wind?
Nothing.
You mean as far as formal letters of intent?
Yeah.
Well, we just got the one we passed today. Jerry, are there...
we don't know about some of the...
I mean, here's the thing. That's a difficult question to answer because what the commission that we have ourselves are letters of intent and actual applications. Now, there are things that you hear about as you circulate around the state, and there are thousands of megawatts that are proposed in what they call the queue, which is at the Midwest Independent System Operator level. So you've got lots of project developers that are out there trying to put together projects that make sense. But as far as actual paperwork here in the door, I don't know that we've got anything right now.
Yeah,
we know some that are likely to come, but it's...
Those questions...
It's the company's job to advertise those, not ours.
That's right. And oftentimes that curiosity is settled at a hearing. While it's not required information. And in some cases, we might have a sighting hearing, remembering that our responsibility really is environmental protection. It may not be relevant to the record, but it's often included in the record as, again, part of a curiosity and the justification for the project. I can think, you know, we just talked about, or I just announced the new hearing on Sequoia, Border Winds. We don't know who the purchaser of that is, if there is one, but we still have the obligation to cite it properly.
There is still some discussion around the state about the we were asked to come up to Grand Forks a while back to talk about potential wind farms' impact to aviation, and there was some concern in that area about wind farms being built below the PSC's regulation or regulatory authority. So there's some projects out there I sense that are of this smaller nature that as this legislative session falls out and that if the threshold changes, we'll see different project sizes. I mean, there's just a lot going on out there.
And the one final thing about the XL
sure.
gas thing. So the upshot basically is that you're saying the company went above and beyond what the staff was hoping they'd do.
Exactly. The staff recommended some things that we do inside the state of North Dakota. They agreed to that plus more, and then to implement across a 5-state region. So, I mean, it turned out okay, I think. Fortunately, nobody was killed. The injuries, you know, they were able to work that out too.
And how many people were injured? Do you remember?
I think we had five people. Five people were injured. Three were treated at the hospital and released. Two were in the hospital a little bit longer.
Okay, one residence, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I've got that in a record somewhere. So.
Yeah. Right.
So you asked for no increases from the governor?
We didn't.
We followed the governor's guidance.
We followed the governor's guidelines and were rewarded accordingly. And we really didn't. I mean, we really don't need it and didn't feel we need it. Remembering, though, of course, that we have, over the last couple of legislative sessions, restructured our own financial situation here with the use of filing fees, both for economic regulation as well as siting regulation, are able to use third-party consultants, engineering firms, law firms, and that's served us very well. And we've been able to avoid growing the bureaucracy while still maintaining the appropriate regulatory climate. All right. If there's nothing else, you should ask Roger how real estate's going up there in Williston. Is it? Yeah, it's good to be you, isn't it? Yeah. We'll recess for a few minutes while we sign orders, and then we'll come back for the administrative portion of our agenda.